It's Nolan and Nolan bringing you the PP3 podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 5 of the PP3 podcast, hosted by Nolan Keough and Nolan Wyatt. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We got a big, big episode here. Lots happened in the VIJHL, and a lot has happened in the NHL world over the last 72 hours. But first off, let's do our weekly recap with Mr. Nolan Wyatt. Nolo, what's going on, bud?
Dude, episode 5, the boys are going strong, over a month now. Thanks again for sticking with us, but dude, I'm excited for this one. Like you said already, a lot of stuff to talk about in the NHL and a little bit to get to in the VIJHL, talking about a prediction and some playoff things, but looking forward to this one. How you been, man?
Good. School's killing me right now. I can't wait for these last 6 weeks to go by and just start to enjoy the summer. So grind it out for the last little bit and then enjoy the summer. How about you, bud? What have you been up to?
I've been good. I'm in the same boat as you, dude. School's a bit of a drag right now. It's tough, but like you said, we're in the home stretch, so just kind of sticking it out, waiting to get through here, keeping myself entertained and alive with some hockey news and the podcast. So looking forward to this one. So why don't we jump right into it, man? VI playoffs are very well underway. The semifinals are basically decided on each side at this point. So what do you think, man? We went and caught the game four in Oceanside, so that was our first game. So what are you thinking of the matchups
right now? That was an unfortunate loss for the Jennies, game four in Parksville. We had boots on the ground with a couple of the old Jenny boys, and Jens played well first period. Second period, it was pretty even. And then third period, I thought Comox just dominated. So they're playing tonight. We're recording on Friday night as we're speaking right now. And we're going to hope for the Jens to pull off a big away victory so they can come back home tomorrow and get the win. And then looking at the rest of the playoffs, like you said, most of the matchups have been decided for. Victoria swept Peninsula after I was trying to pump the boys up
last
last episode, so tough one there. 4-0 Vic just absolutely slaughtered them, and then Saanich and West Shore, another kind of slaughtering. So two powerhouses there, Victoria going up against Saanich. That's gonna be a great series. And then Cary Park, like we said, they're the dark horses for the VI championship. Beats CR 4-2 the series. Our boy Parker Klippenstein, holy, we can't get enough of this guy. We keep talking about
playoff
him.
Performer.
What a difference he's made in that series. He's a banging bods. Guys don't even have the puck, and he's going up and just railing them.
Yeah.
So, and in that series, there was a little bit of a drama before the game that
I was tuning into that game watching my hometown team Campbell River play off against my boys Parker and Finn Klippenstein up in Cary Park, and ex-teammate Kenny Boychuk. I was just watching and warm-ups on, I'm kind of doing some schoolwork, and all I hear is a little bit of like yelling or like some scuffling on hockey TV, and I look up and about 3 or 4 guys on each team met at the red line, some old school stuff and a little bit of stick work and some cross checks and a little bit of fuck you right before the game. And it was 2-2 series at that point. And when I saw Boychuk in there mixing it up and just like, I was like, there's no way KP rolls over. And they pounded the Storm at home to go up 3-2 before capping off the series win. Another upset. Another tough season for the Storm, 3 years in a row. Two of the 3 seasons, they've been the first place team in the league, won the league, and then they get bounced first round this year after being first place. And 2 years ago, they set records for the regular season and then met us in the second round and we swept them. So a little bit of trouble in the playoffs up in Campbell River, but like you and I said, Cary Park is a playoff team and getting led right now by just a lot of kind of unsung heroes from the league that's put together. And Clippy, love watching him play. He plays with a fuck you edge, and I think that was, he was my difference maker of the series for sure. And then the other North series, 2-2 right now, like you said, going up game 5 in Comox tonight. We caught the Jens, and what a difference playoff hockey is in the VI compared to regular season. Like, you came and watched us play the Gens in regular season, and then you went and watched the Gens play last night. So touch on the difference of the compete level in the playoffs.
It's crazy. I thought the Gens absolutely sucked throughout the four regular season games that I watched. And I was a bit skeptical. I'm rooting for them this series for sure, but there's a little bit of doubt crept into my mind about going up against Comox. But it's even, right? Like, the difference, there's a psychological edge that you take in when it is the playoffs. It matters that much more. You give that extra 10% effort on every play, and this has been a great series so far. So 2-2, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to game seven.
Like you said, so far, by the way, not to pump our own tires, but on VI playoff predictions so far, we're 3 out of 4. Both of us had Saanich. I had Victoria by domination. They swept the Panthers. And then Kehoe and I had Carey Park in seven, and we knew Carey Park was a force this year. And after going down 2-0 in the series, the reverse sweep, 4 games straight for Carey Park to win it in 6. So wrong on the games, but like we said, Carey Park's a dark horse, and they worked up and down the island and beat up the Storm. So, and now the only undecided series is Comox Valley and Oceanside, and like you and I both have Oceanside in 7. So it's looking.
What's your prediction for Victoria versus Saanich?
At this rate, I'm excited to see how game one goes. Victoria is loaded with studs, as we know, and what's different this year is Saanich's as well. They don't just have 2 or 3 guys. They have a full team, especially after swinging that trade with Peninsula in the middle at the deadline, bringing in Crawford, Rosenblatt, and Grambart, like 3 of Peninsula's best players, bringing them over to Saanich to an already stacked forward group led by Jack Westhaver, I'd say. We met them in the finals last year. Saanich doesn't roll over easy, so I think this goes the distance. I'm thinking 6 or 7 games, but if I had to answer the coin toss right now, I'd say I'm going to go and say Saanich Predators in 7 games.
I'm going to say it's tough to pick a team, but I'm going to put it this way. It's whoever doesn't play the pretty boy hockey.
Yeah.
Because I find a lot of these Victoria teams play the pretty boy hockey, especially the Cougars teams in the past. They got loads of skill, but when they went up against Carey Park, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
They got swept, and KP came in as the lower seed.
Same as this year. Same as this year.
The North, it's a weaker division for sure, but when it comes into playoffs, they play with an edge. They play the fuck you game that we keep talking about, and that's what takes the series. So,
and it's always noticeable when you watch a North team go up against a South team. The style of hockey is different just from that little split division. Like, all the South teams play more of a finesse, like a lot of touches, and I don't know, like very systematic teams, whereas the North, I'd say aside from the Camel River Storm, are all bang and crash, meat and potatoes, and fuck you hockey players. And it's cool watching the North and South clash, right? Like, Carey Park definitely is one of the biggest teams this year as far as banging bodies, and so is Comox. So if those two were to meet in the second round, it would be an absolute bloodbath. So I'm excited to see regardless. Obviously, we got the Gens in 7. We're hoping for our boys to pull out another run here. But regardless of who comes out of that series, it's going to be a dogfight. And this year's playoffs are shaping up to be pretty cinematic.
I think, yeah, this is going to be a very exciting semifinals here. Victoria, Saanich, KP versus either Comox or the Gens. I see that Victoria and Saanich series being a little bit chippy, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who can, I guess, play with a little bit of a level head, let some stuff go behind them, but also just play tough, play between the whistles. I think it's going to be a great series, so I think we're in for a very, very exciting next month of playoff hockey in the VI, and yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tonight, Comox versus Oceanside.
Yeah.
So if you were Carey Park right now, you're in the semis, you're watching this series, who do you think they're preferring to play?
If Comox, I was sitting in the Carey Park dressing right now thinking about who I'd rather play, I think this year, especially, I'm taking Oceanside. I think they match up way better against Oceanside. Oceanside couldn't solve Cary Park in the regular season this year. They lost every matchup to Cary Park. Mm-hmm. I think that just gives a psychological advantage to Cary Park because Oceanside's thinking, fuck, we haven't solved these guys before. Here we go again. And this year, for kind of the first year I've seen since being around the league, Oceanside's a soft team this year. They don't have the will to run through a wall as a lot of our guys did last year, and that's kind of showing in these playoff runs and just throughout the regular season. Just a younger core and a lot softer than we've seen in the past, and Cary Park lacks no toughness this year. So I think that matchup, if I was in Cary Park, I think I'd rather play Oceanside.
One person that's making a real difference on that Jens team is Grayson Erickson.
Yeah,
he's brought a really good chip. Watching that game on Wednesday, I was a bit skeptical when he came in because I only played against him, and I hated playing against him. Yeah. I thought he was the biggest loser, all this and that. And then he comes over to the Gens, and I hear nothing but good things about the guy. He's like a Nick Cousins of the NHL. Totally. The whole league hates him, but the boys just absolutely love him.
Yeah, like I'm in the same boat as you. I've got to play with him this year so I can speak from perspective. Playing 2 years against him, he was a bomb squad original. Thought he was a fucking prick. Yeah. He's one of those guys that just has something to say or something to do with his stick every single whistle. Yeah. And when you're playing against it, it gets under your skin, regardless of the score of the game. He's the kind of guy that can get under your skin. We saw it firsthand last night. I got to play with him, and I seen it firsthand. Every whistle, Grayson Erickson's got a word to say. He's got a little slash, a little smirk, a little fuck you between. Mm-hmm. Just like something to get under the skin. Like, you know Erickson has something to say, and you know if the Gens go up, he's going to be the guy rubbing it right in front of your bench. And I think he's a difference maker, and obviously got to toot the horn of Jacob Thomas coming back from a six-game suspension, first game back in Comox, leads the boys to a 4-2 victory, leading the way with a natural hat trick, scoring 3 goals in his return. He's a difference maker. He was pretty shadowed by every shift he was on last night. Mm-hmm. He was covered but double teamed. So last night they kind of solved Jacob Thomas' problem. So Oceanside's going to need a look to move the puck around, distribute it a bit, maybe get it to Ross or Gary. But here we are, game 5 tonight. We'll be touching back through the Instagram soon here. And before we head it over to the NHL trade deadline, I just want to give a couple shout outs to the 20s that I played with over my career that are now done their junior careers. Henry Rust and West Shore, snaps on a great career, man. It was fun playing with you. I played with you at PCHA, so congrats. And in Peninsula, Trussie, the man, number 4, the legend.
The Trust God.
Went to Peninsula chasing a ring. It didn't come full circle, but it was a pleasure playing with you in Nanaimo. You're a good dude, and all the best. And as far as the rest of the 20s I played with, keep fucking battling, boys. This is a playoff round, and thanks for tuning in to our VI segment.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good recap there. Covered a lot of bases. And next week, we're going to have the showdowns, Victoria, Saanich, and KP, and whoever. So we'll probably be game 2 or 3 with Victoria and Saanich, and then probably game 2 or 3 with KP and whoever as well. So we'll be following up with that.
Yeah, so we'll keep you informed. And before we head off into the trade deadline, I just want to introduce you to our third man here on the night. Carter Vandekamp is home, and he is joining us from Burnaby, BC. This guy is a graphic design guru. Fortnite sweat. This guy does it all. Known as the hacker, about to steal his money in poker tonight. Carter Vandekamp, welcome to the podcast, brother.
Thanks for having me, boys. Excited. I don't know how I'm going to top off my buddy Carlson last pod, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, dude.
Fantasy football champion, too, if you forgot that.
Yeah, rub it in my face a bit, you right. Fucking prick. Anyways, I'll be back next year. But yeah, we're just bringing Carter on. This guy knows his stuff about hockey. He's known to the boys as the guru. Evan Dice dubbed him that nickname because Carter always has got a bet slip in the group chat, and just like a little insider scoop, he's thinking, oh, these games go over, they're going over tonight. Carter's always the guy throwing in the little extra knowledge, looking behind the scenes, behind the lines, and finding some behind the scene NHL stuff for gambling. So figured Hey, he misses, but he's got some good takes.
$100 this week. I don't know what this guy's
up $100, man. You can't beat that.
How was breakfast, Dice?
Sleepy. But here we are. He's joining us tonight. He knows his shit, and he's just going to be here. We're going to bounce some ideas off him, ask him some questions, and yeah, just we're going to be three men in this through the NHL trade deadline. So, Kehoe, why don't you lead us off, brother?
Yeah, so first trade. Carter, you're a big Oilers fan, so
diehard.
I want to hear your thoughts on this. Oilers get Adam Henrik, Sam Carrick, and a Tampa Bay 7th-round pick. And they give up a 1st-round pick next year, a conditional 5th-round pick that turns into a 4th if the Oilers win the Cup. They also gave a 4th-round pick to Lightning to take on 25% of the salary. And also, the Ducks retain 50%. So Oilers get Adam Henrik at $1.45 million for the rest of the year. And they also get a grindy guy, Sam Carrick, who actually got in a fight last night in his first game. He's only making $850,000. So, Carter, let's hear your thoughts on this. Adam Henrik. He's a good third line center, I think. He's going to fit in well there. Sam Carrick's going to bring a little bit of fuck you, just like the Worm, Corey Perry. So let's hear your thoughts on this.
You betcha. Well, obviously, like as soon as you see, I saw the names, I was fired right up. As soon as you see Adam Henrik, like a guy, he's +5 on Anaheim, on fucking Anaheim. So you got a guy like that, depth. Wins his draws. We got Anaheim's first PK unit in that deal with Henrik and Carrick, so that's a good ad. But then you see the first go, and it's kind of like, okay. And then the deadline goes on, and you see what these other teams are getting for their first, and it's like, maybe this isn't like the best, if, especially since this was their like main move at the end of the day today. So that was a little disappointing. But again, I think it's a great ad. I don't know any teams in the West, especially the Pacific, which with the deeper three centers down the middle now, four, I guess, with McDavid, Draisaitl, Henrik, and Carrick. So, yeah, man, I'm so happy with it. I think you could have done more with the first round pick, though. But
yeah, so there's our Oilers insider, man. Before we get into some more trades, I just wanted to ask you guys, like, what'd you think of this year's deadline? Because some years are pretty boring, and some years are electric. And where do you rank this?
I thought it was good. It was definitely a lot better than last year.
100%.
Yeah, there's a lot of play. Like, nobody expected the trade at the end. Thomas Hurdle.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, man, what the heck? We'll get into Vegas in a little bit. Just they are becoming the go-to team for every fan base they hate.
It's ridiculous.
Nobody likes them.
I've never seen a team land so many free agents just like that.
And just the way they were able to avoid the... Like, I get it from... Actually, I'll save it for when we get into Vegas.
Why don't we just get into Vegas right now, dude?
Just one more thing, too. Just, like, going into today, I was just surprised, like, how much more happened after yesterday and even Wednesday. And, like, there was still that much left, like, what went down.
I was watching it today live at Kirby's. They had the deadline counter on the TV with, like, the countdown. And just some of the names you see going today, like, big names. Mm-hmm. And I thought yesterday was pretty entertaining, and then today caught me by whirlwind. Like, some of the last minute moves were pretty crazy to see. We saw a lot of big players in their organizations getting swapped. We even saw a captain swap, which is very unlikely unless it's the VI Sonk. But yeah, lot to get to. But I mean, you already kind of edged us a little bit with Vegas, so why don't we get into it now, man? Three huge ads. Vegas looks absolutely loaded up right now. Their decor is a brick wall. Their forwards, they have snipers, they have role players, and they have just like everything you need. Vegas, again, looks poised to make another run. So, Kehoe, why don't you run me through some of the trades they made?
Yeah, so first trade off they made, they got Anthony Mantha in from the Capitals. They traded away a 2nd-round pick next year and also a 4th-round pick in 2026. Caps retain 50% on that, so they get him at $2.85 million. I think that's a pretty good ad there, 34 points in 56 games. Next trade they made, Noah Hanifin. Probably, arguably, the biggest asset on this trade deadline block. They get him at 75% retained after they gave the Flyers a 5th-round pick to take on 25%, and they gave the Flames a 2026 1st-round pick, 2025 3rd-round pick, Daniel Miramanov, who has 6 points in 5 games in the AHL. He's 26 years old. And, yeah, the Flames retained 50% on Hanifin. I think this is an absolute steal. And this goes back to what Carter said about the first-round pick for Henrik and Sam Carrick. You look at what Vegas gave up. They didn't even... It is after this trade deadline, they still have their 2024 first round pick.
Yeah,
they bring in Anthony Mantha, Noah Hanifin, Thomas Hurdle, and they don't even have to give up this year's first round pick. Like, I think that is absolutely mind boggling. They are the number one winner in this trade deadline, hands down.
Not even close, man. Like, I don't understand how, like, they can even make these moves, man. Like, what they're like, what their GM's like, he's fucking offering tickets for a show at the Sphere. Or fucking, like, I don't know what he's doing now. But some of these deals today were just, or this past couple days were just insane, dude.
And we'll break down the Thomas Hurdle trade quickly. So yeah, the Knights bring in Thomas Hurdle, 2025 third round pick from the Sharks, and also a 2027 third round pick. And they gave up a first round pick in 2025 and David Edstrom. That's it.
Yeah. Kelly McCrimmon's got to be letting all the GMs in the league run train on his wife.
And just to add on to that,
100%.
Just to add on to that, the Sharks are also retaining 17% of his salary for the next 7 years.
Seven years. Insane. Definitely running train on Kelly's wife.
They're getting him at 6.75 for the remaining years on his contract.
It's sickening. Hanifin, Hurdle, and Mantha. I mean, Mantha, this is a fan submission in, about the guy, so if you're listening, little bit about Anthony Mantha for those who don't really know about him. This is coming from a self-proclaimed Detroit diehard.
In our DMs.
Yeah, in the PP3 podcast DMs, so
we'll get that up in
a
second.
While you're pulling it up, I'll just add, I think, like, if I'm a Canucks fan, that might be the guy of the deadline that I would want to add to my team is Anthony Mantha.
Anthony Mantha,
just a gritty, like, depth winger, man. Like, that's all they would have needed, I feel. But
yeah, so here we are. The fan description of Anthony Mantha coming from a proclaimed Red Wings fan. This player is making a deep run in the VI playoffs this year. He says, as a Red Wings fan, this guy will give you a 3-point night one game, then go pointless for 2 weeks and play like an absolute ghost out there. Plus, you can't trust any guy who spray paints the bottom half of his stick white. So, absolute great take. The white spray paint's a joke. You're not that guy. Especially not you, Anthony Mantha. But yeah, great take. But I think, like, we see a lot of guys kind of flourish in Vegas. We've seen it, man. I think a guy like Anthony Mantha, he has the touch. We see it. Like, if his guy's able to score 3 goals in Detroit, this guy's going to be able to be reliable in Vegas, I'd presume. So I'm really excited to see what he can do, kind of bring that edge. He's kind of, I'd say he's going into kind of like a Riley Smith role.
He's
going to
go into a middle six role, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he played well on the Caps.
Totally.
I think that he's like, he's sneaky skilled too, man. Like, you can play him anywhere in your lineup too. Like, just such a good add.
So yeah, I would say that's their lowest of the three things they bring in. And which is crazy. Lowest, yeah, other teams would be begging for him. And Hurdle and Hanifin, they're going to make an immediate impact. So you heard it right here. If anybody wants a future pick for next year, Kehoe got him really early this year, but giving it to you now, 13-1 odds tonight. Vegas Golden Knights back to back. Dabble or don't, but I think it's a good line, boys.
I think it's, yeah, they're going to go into the playoffs. Mark Stone will be ready game one.
He will, 100%.
And everybody in the NHL is going to be crying about it.
Lord Farquaad's coming back.
Does Vegas care? Fuck no, they don't care. Their lineup is so good. It might be better than last year.
It very well could be, man. They are so fucking deep. And since you touched on it, you obviously, in everybody's eyes, I think it's unanimous, Vegas wins the deadline this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. Man. So give me your takes on the loser of the deadline. We saw some teams that we thought were going to make a big, big splash in the market, not really do a whole lot, and we've got some contenders that didn't even put a drop in the bucket. So, Kehoe, Carter, what do you got? Who's the loser this year's deadline?
You want to start off, Carter?
I don't want to just say this, but like, could be the Canucks.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say the Canucks. I agree.
And it's not just because I'm going to be like a biased hater on the Canucks or nothing, but like, especially with all this Getzel talk leading up, like, it seemed like they wanted to push all their chips in right away, and it just never seemed to happen. So not that they really need anything, but again, I think like even a guy like Anthony Mantha is the perfect ad for that. But
so if I was Jim Rutherford, with the Penguins selling off and with them getting Michael Bunting, right when they got Bunting, I would have called Kyle Dubas straight away and said, what do you want from Bunting? Because that's a great...
Yeah.
Ilya Mikheyev's playing in their top six right now.
100%.
He doesn't have a goal in his last 32 games.
Yeah.
That's not a guy you can have in your top six.
No.
And they they've had Pierce Suter.
Yeah, Pierce Sutter.
Pierce Sutter been playing up with Miller and Besser and kind of going around different roles on that team. And he's played well at points. He had he's been good on their power play at different points, but he hasn't been super reliable in that role. He's somebody that you want on your third line center, fourth line center wing area, playing 12 to 13 minutes a night, who is really good defensively and can also contribute offensively. So
100%, man. And
the Canucks needed to do more.
And I think, like on that Getzel, to touch on that quick, I think that Bunting is so overrated too, man. I think he's a chicken.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Bunting guy. I just watched him on the Leafs mainly. I just think he's a bit of a fraud, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my take.
Okay, well, we'll get back into the trades now. There's a lot of trades to cover, so we're going to be going over most of the big ones. So we'll get back on track with the Rangers. They were another loser that I would say in this deadline. They picked up Alexander Wenberg for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick over to the Kraken. Kraken retained 50% of his salary, so the Rangers get him at 1 year left on his contract at $2.25 million. Currently, he has 25 points in 60 games. He'll probably be a third-line center with them. They lost, is it Cheadle?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, that's a big blow for him. He was playing really 100%. Well last year in the playoffs and at the beginning of this year. So they needed to find somebody to fill in that center role. And I've never been a huge fan of Wenberg's game. He's not somebody that you can rely on for goals. He's more of a playmaker and just solely a playmaker.
Best looking guy in the league, too.
He's an absolute rocket.
Handsome fella.
But
yeah, no, with the actually, like, if I wasn't going to say Canucks, I would say Rangers, too. There was just all this, like, hype. Like, they were in the Getzel sweepstakes. They were Frankie Vetrano would be a sick ad to go to go back there. There was talks of Buchnevich going back there. Like, just all these, like, all this hype, all these talks, and they just never made anything happen.
That was Wenberg, so. That was my choice, too, man. I mean, the Rangers are loaded this year. Once again, getting led by Panarin, and Zibanejad's having a great year as well. But Rangers look poised to make another deep run. And, I mean, if this was the year to go for it, you guys got to do a little bit more than Alex Wenberg at the deadline, I believe. I mean, they've got a crew. I don't think they win the cup with the crew they have. I think they needed a couple pieces.
I don't understand how, with this roster, they're obviously playing good. I don't understand how you get past the Panthers.
I don't think so. Because
it's insane.
The Panthers are absolutely hot. And since we're going over the Panthers now, one of the biggest names in free agency this year, Vladimir Tarasenko, gets landed by the Panthers.
That Russian scumbag had his Senators by the balls.
By the fucking balls, dude. Cock and ball torture Ottawa.
I'm not coming back. Trade me for whatever you can fucking get.
And listen to this. The Panthers get away like bandits on this deal, boys. Panthers have been a deadline destination for a lot of big-name free agents. We see guys like my boy Claude Giroux going there. Like, a lot of these skilled centermen that just can fucking dominate and make a difference in any lineup are going to Florida. And, I mean, maybe it's the no state taxes. Maybe it's living in Florida. That might help it, too. But great playoff atmosphere there. And another year and another wagon team in Florida. So Vladimir Tarasenko with 41 points in 57 games played on a mediocre Ottawa team. The Sens are going to have to retain 50% of his salary. So Vlad's 32 years old. He's making 2.5. So an absolute bargain for once a franchise player like Vladimir Tarasenko.
To add to a group of fucking freaks.
He's a sicko. Like you saw so Barkov good, and the juggling the puck tap it in for the assist of the year.
Florida's just fucked, man. Skilled. They're so fucking mean. They're so tough.
It's crazy, man. They got Tarasenko.
They can get consistent goaltending, man. Like they're my pick out of the East for sure.
100%. I like it a lot, dude. Tarasenko and Barkov are going to be juggling the puck to each other on 2-on-0s, dude. It's going to be sickening. These two together are going to be scary. And like we said, Panthers are a wagon. The Senators kind of come up empty on this deal. They get a third-round pick, 2025, conditional fourth in 2024, and that fourth only becomes a third-round pick if Florida goes on to win the Cup, which there's a true potential for that, but realistically, is a third-round pick and two third-round picks even worth, lad?
So I was reading up on that. Like you said, the Senators were kind of grabbed by the balls by Tarasenko. He had a full no-move clause, and he only wanted to go to Florida. So in this situation, when everybody's looking at only a third and a fourth, They're like, what the hell happened there? But when you break it down and look at the factors that went into play into this trade and what the Sens had to deal with, it was either a third and a fourth
or he walks for Tarasenko, anyway,
or you keep a guy who's not going to do much for your playoff hopes because they don't really have any playoff hopes. And then he just walks in the summer. So
I think the Sens are the biggest disappointment of this year. I thought they were going to be like
yeah, them and Buffalo this year. Buffalo Devils. Too. Devils sold the bag.
Yeah. I just thought fucking obviously Ottawa would be in the mix, man. Like they have the guys. Like it's weird, but yeah, you're obviously wasting his talent there, and he's going to walk in the summer anyway. So you get what you can get, and you put him where he wants to go. Yeah.
So we're going to get on here to the deal between the Avalanche and the Sabres, a defensive swap, one for one. Electric swap. We saw one of the members of this trade first touch of the puck is a goal in the net. To see two D men move like this is kind of gives me a little bit of reminiscence of Shea Weber for PK Subban back in the day. But yesterday we see Casey Mittelstadt getting sent to Colorado for Bowen Byram. I love this trade for both teams. Colorado needed a little bit of a faster kind of puck moving guy in Casey Mittelstadt, just like a little bit more touch of the puck. So great pickup for Colorado, kind of somebody to play on the second power play there, just a good add. And Bowen Byram going back the other way, back to Buffalo. This kid is kind of a household name for a lot of British Columbia folk. He's from Cranbrook, BC. But man, this kid can play. He took some time off last year due to mental issues and personal issues, but he's back this year and he's making a difference. 20 points in 55 games in Colorado. And the reason why I love this trade for Buffalo and for Bowen Byram is because they're not going to stick Byram with Makar. Devon Toews is 10 times the defensive player to play with Makar than Byram is. But you send Bowen Byram up to Buffalo, and it unlocks a lot of new roles for him. So,
yeah, the young up-and-comers is obviously a better fit there. Like obviously, the Avs want to win now. And I think that ever since the Avs moved on from Newhook, there's been a gap in that center role down the middle. And Mittelstadt's obviously a good, experienced guy, skilled. He's gonna get the job done for you for a team that's looking to make a run. And obviously Byram, he has obviously big buddies in Buffalo, just a good younger fit for him, a team looking to make a run like later on. So it's going to be a better fit for both sides.
Yeah. What's your take on this?
I think it's crucial for the Avs to come out on top of this trade. They need Mittelstadt to just keep the way he's playing right now, be consistent, because this is the first season in his career where he's put up these points to games ratio, 47 points in 62 games. There's been a lot of complaints with him being a high first-round pick and not being able to produce. This year, it looks like he's found his game in Buffalo, so it's going to be crucial for the Avs to put him with a couple wingers who can help match his play and help him produce. So I like the trade for the Avs. They needed somebody in that center role. I don't think Wennberg was somebody who would have fit in that team. I don't think it made any sense. And then also Adam Henrique, that was a big asking price that the Oilers played that the Avs wanted to pay, in which they actually will get into the trade later that they made with their first round pick.
So question for you guys. It's a pretty down the middle trade, but each guy's getting the pieces they need. But who wins this trade in your guys' opinion?
This one shocked me when it came out, honestly, just to see like a young name like Byram, who's obviously like first entering the league, he was a little more hyped up obviously than maybe he is now, but he's still like, what is he, a 2000 or an 01?
He's young, man. He's very young.
He's a 2000 or an 01, so he's young, so much potential. So I think Buffalo's a great fit. But I think for a team like Colorado who's looking to make another deep run, in my opinion, for the time being, I think they win the trade, filling the gap that they needed with Mittelstadt. So,
Kehoe?
I would say for this year, the Avs want it for sure. Down the future,
long term, it's obviously going to be you get the skilled D-man.
It's weird that you look at Buffalo, and now they have three.
Darlene Power and Byram.
They have three all-star caliber. Like obviously, Bowen Byram hasn't been an all-star defenseman in this league yet, but he's only 22 years old, and I think he has a boatload of potential if he can stay healthy. So 100%. Those are three defensemen who are all left-handed. So one of them's gonna have to play on the right side. Owen Powers played a bit with Darlene on that right side. Darlene's so nasty.
I think you can
plot him at fourth line center.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And Not to cut you off, man, but something I wanted to bring up, hot take maybe not, but I think that the Sabres might have the best under 25 core in the NHL right now. You give the Sabres some time to develop, and they are scary, dude.
Them, I would also say, the Devils still. Yeah. They're, they're like, this year's been a write off for them. They make a couple goalie trades that we'll get into a little bit later. But, yeah, Carter, you want
to
add?
I was just going to say, like 2 to 4 years from now, when you look at Buffalo's left D-man, you see Darlene, Power first overall, and then Byram. Like, it's going to be pretty nuts, I feel, on for their left D moving forward. But
totally.
Yeah, good trade for both teams.
And before we move on to a couple other swaps here, we had a little bit of an insider scoop. We thought we might get the insider scoop.
I was going to ask you about that.
On an NHL deal. Public, yeah. So we didn't put it public because it came to us pretty late here, but from an insider scoop, so Bowen Byram's a BC boy, so obviously everybody here is well in touch with the hockey community all over BC, whether that be from junior or from minor hockey. But yesterday, mid-trade deadline, before Bowen Byram was moved, I was informed that Bowen Byram was potentially headed to Vancouver, so the thoughts were going to be there was going to be a three-way deal between Vancouver, Buffalo, and Colorado that saw Byram sticking in Vancouver. Even after the deal went down between Buffalo and Colorado for the one-for-one, there were still thoughts that there'd be a second trade and Byram would be moved shortly after arriving in Buffalo and going to Vancouver. So, I mean, I would have loved to see him there, like a BC boy playing for the Canucks. And it didn't happen, but if we keep shooting for the stars with our hot takes and insider scoops, we're going to land a trade before the big boys and really put us on the map. But that's all I got.
That's crazy. The Canucks, I'm just wondering, who would the Canucks have given up?
No idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They don't really have a guy, the closest guy I could think of equivalent to Middlestat. I couldn't even name one with like the sneaky skill and the grit. Yeah. Still young, but experienced.
Unless it was a
like,
three-way trade with Buffalo, where they would have been giving up prospects to Buffalo and for Byram. Yeah. So
it could have gone. He could have gone other places. Byram's going to be a hot topic in Buffalo for a long time. So I mean, I hope he finds and continues to find his game there. He looks good this year.
You guys see Dylan Cousins' interview after the trade too?
I missed it.
No. He was talking about how it was his best buddy and he like deserves the world and all this stuff and how it's going to be awesome.
Now. Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah, it's just going
to
be a good.
It's cool to see like the young teams kind of linking up. Like, kind of pissed me off. Like, I don't really fuck with the Caulfield and Zegras bromance, but no, I really respect
Americans, right?
Yeah, I don't like them, but I really respect these Canadian boys
guys like Cousins and Byram.
The guys you see playing in the World Juniors together. Yeah, absolutely. You love watching them link up because the chemistries last for a lifetime. You see it all the way through the league, all the way through history. A lot of guys playing with their World Junior teammates, and it's pretty electric. Moving on, why don't we get to my boys, the pesky Flyers.
Yeah, big trade. I think the Flyers came out with an absolute dub here. Avalanche, they get Sean Walker and a fifth-round pick. In exchange, they give a conditional 2025 pick that is top 10 protective and slides to 2026 if it's top 10. And then they also give up Ryan Johansson, who the Flyers send down to the AHL immediately. It's sad to see a 31-year, like 31's not that old. Ryan Johansson, when he was on the Nashville Predators, and
he was
even
a player.
Columbus, before that, he was a great player. So that it's a bit of a sad downfall to see for him. But Nolo, being a Flyers fan, I like you said before to me in private, I think you said that you thought the Flyers absolutely robbed the Avs on this. So.
And I stand by it, man. I stand by it. I got our conversation here about it. I texted you Wednesday 11 in the morning. This is it. Absolutely love the Walker trade, dude. He played 6 months of decent hockey in Philly and fetched a first round and Johansson. Unreal for a pending UFA. Danny Briere masterclass. I'm so fucking horny. Those were my words, and I stand by it, man. Danny Briere is making an impact in Philly.
So he's obviously being a right D-man of his, like, grit and skill, obviously, or whatever. They're rare, especially on this deadline. This one obviously pissed me off because going into the deadline as an Oilers fan, he's the one guy that you want to get a good, big right D-man. So the first thing I think is, so Wednesday, the Oilers waived Sam Gagne, which is sad. Obviously, mm-hmm. he was playing fine. Why don't you trade Gagne in your first and get fucking Sean Walker?
Totally.
Like, yeah.
100%. Like, yeah. It made me upset. I just think, like, it's good for the Flyers to get a first right now, especially now it's not like a do-or-die year for them or nothing. Mm-hmm. But I just think that a gritty, skilled enough right D-man is so rare right now that the Avs make a good move here, too.
Yeah, it's a total fetch for both teams. I mean, like you said, dude, those D-men, the big D-men, are a hot commodity in the NHL. Everybody's hunting for their kind of shutdown body guy that's going to run you through a brick wall in
especially
the corner.
Especially a right shot right
100%.
Now. Like, they're just rare.
They're hard to come by. Yeah, it's fun. It's totally weird that's what kind of the NHL's hunting for them. Sean Walker, like, I loved him in Philly, but he's not a game breaker.
Yeah, no, but
he 22 points.
He gets the job done, and that's it.
Yeah, 22 points in 63 games in Philly. He was just a reliable D-man. He played 6 months in Philadelphia, like I said to Keezer on Wednesday. He played 6 months of good hockey in Philly, and absolutely turn around, get him first round pick. Ryan Johansson, and you're getting rid of somebody that's probably not coming back to Philly at the deadline anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that Danny Briere gets away like a thief here. I love it. I love this deal.
Getting a first is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And
I like the Philly. I like how they replaced them too. They bring in Eric Johnson today for a fourth round pick from Buffalo.
I forgot that one.
And with the Flyers going into a potential playoff run, they're, like Carter said before, it's not a do or die year, right? They came in with very low expectations. I think this is just, it's a fun year for the fan base. It's a fun year for the players. I think their mindset is whatever happens, happens. It is what it is.
Ride the wave.
If they don't make the playoffs, it's no biggie because they're so young. You got players like Tyson Forrester. Who's that ginger D-man?
Sanheim.
No, the fucking American.
Cam York.
Yeah. Cam York. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Couple gingers in Philly, dude. They're all starting to look like the mascot.
They're a fun team, man.
They are a fun team.
And as a Flyers fan, you guys can tell why I'm on the edge of my seat every time I'm talking about the Flyers. I'm so fucking amped. I love the Flyers. Last night I watched them steal a win from the league-leading Florida Panthers in the dying seconds, and it's just role guys getting it done in Philly. 100%. The Tortorella system's coming into full effect.
It's funny because, like, Johansson seems like a perfect, like, guy for the Flyers, you know, just like a gritty, just good dude off the ice. Like, he just screams Flyers.
And talking about absolute Philadelphia born, like, born to play in Philly. Huge, huge signing at great value for the Flyers. Bring in Nick Seeler on a 4-year extension. What a story for that guy. He screams Philadelphia. This guy was a suitcase in the minors, and I mean the minors. He's going around.
He retired.
And he was a suit. This is his career. He plays as a junior. He's a great D-man. And he plays a little bit in the minor leagues. And then he ended up retiring from pro hockey in 2020 just to make a return a year later. He's been making the league minimums. He's been eating the soggy subs. He's been eating that at Boston Pizza, $7.75 a year. And then this guy, 30-year-old, walks into the Flyers lineup, fits right under Torts' plan, just like I'm talking about. This guy eats shots for breakfast, lays his body on the line every single night despite the score. He's been a key corner piece to Philly, not just how he plays on the ice, but obviously his energy and his attitude is just infectious. So the 30-year-old that had just retired fetches himself a lifetime of wealth. He's set. He got the bag, $10 million in the next 4 years. So round of snaps for a fucking grinder like Nick Seeler, finding his way into a lineup and sticking. So you just love to see shit like that, man. And another pickup, loving the Flyers, loving Danny Briere. Everything in Philadelphia is screaming a championship in the next 3-5 years.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Three years.
Five, or, a little bit five or 15. Go Flyers!
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story, just like we talked about Nick Seeler retiring from hockey at one point, coming back, and just the way he's been on that team. It's pretty cool, and he, like you said, fits right into Torts' system. So move back on over to the trades. The Toronto Maple Leafs They bring in Joel Edmondson for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. The Caps retain 50% of the contract, so he's making around 1.75 this year. I think the Leafs fans are a bit disappointed with this deadline. I hate the Leafs, so I'm happy. But Joel Edmondson's a good player. He's not going to wow you with any skill, but he's a shutdown guy that you can put him with Morgan Riley or Timothy Liljegren or players like that. Like, he gets the job done. He's a big boy. He blocks shots. I think it's a good trade for the value. I think it's a good trade.
100%. Again, like these right D-men are just hard to come by, so get what you get, I guess. Like, that's another guy. I think he's better than Cody Ceci. I'd be happy if the fucking Oilers got him, but they didn't, so.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Is it a trade that, like, the Leafs didn't do really anything?
They didn't really stir the pot this year.
So, my question to you guys, they did bring in Connor Dewar right at the end there, for a fourth-round pick, who's... He has 14 points in 57 games. He's 24, so he's got a couple years left. His legs are still pretty young. So have the trades that they've made, has it made them that much more of a contender? Are they suited for a long playoff run?
Not necessarily this year, but just to go back and say my two bits on Edmondson, I think it's a smart addition by the Leafs, by Brad Tree Living. Makes a nice move. 50 retrained. That's huge in this market with the cap space, especially in Toronto. They don't have a lot of room to wiggle with. I'd like if they keep adding those guys. Like, he's a depth player, and when he was in Montreal, watching him play, he was annoying. He's hard to play against. He rocks guys. He puts guys through the glass. He's a tough D-man, and I mean, we've seen Toronto shy away from a lot of kind of shit because they're not tough enough. And I think bringing in a big boy like Edmondson is beneficial. And I honestly, not a huge add at the deadline to like be a total game breaker. But I think we see once Toronto matches up against, I'm going to say, Boston in the first round. I think Edmondson kind of shines bright in the defensive role there.
It's funny when you mention Toronto and toughness, because over the offseason you add Bertuzzi and Domi and Reeves, and it's like, holy shit, like this team might be a little scary, and that really just wasn't the case going in at all. But
Bertuzzi's starting to find his game.
Give that to him. Good. Not the same as like on Boston in the playoffs, like, holy fuck, like this guy's doing it all right now. But it just hasn't been there in Toronto. Obviously now it's starting to pick up. But, yeah, still a good ad, a good right D-man. They're rare, so, yeah.
And we'll get back to the trades. Carter, your Oilers, they picked up Troy Stetcher and a seventh-round pick from the Yotes, and they gave up a fourth. Troy, as a Canucks fan, I've watched Troy play on the teams in the, I guess, he played 3 years with the Canucks, three, four years.
I watched him score his first BC NHL boy. Goal.
Yeah.
When I think of Troy Stetcher, I think Canuck right away.
Yeah, when he was with them in that COVID year, and he was a big part of that team. He's a hard-nosed guy. He plays like he's 6'5". He's only 5'11"-ish, but I like that pickup for the Oilers.
I do, too. I was upset. I didn't think that we would be done after that, but sure enough, that was it. But, yeah, still a good ad. They're going to say 7th D-man for now. Again, I think he's better than Cody Ceci probably to fill that role. But, yeah, good ad. Give up nothing significant for a guy that can play hard and knows how to play. So
Connor McDavid needs a left winger. He needs somebody on the left wing.
Nuge right now. Like, it's their lineup that they're going to go in with tomorrow. I quite liked it. Was him, Draisaitl, Henrik down the middle, so that's fine.
Okay,
and then that'd be nice.
Chime in. Third line, Henrik, Kane, and Perry. I think that's going to be fucking interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Why is he called the Worm?
Because he's the Worm.
who made that?
I have no idea.
Because I saw you send the Worm emoji. Like Anaheim, okay. Yeah. He sent that in the other day.
He's just a weasel. He's just a worm. He's honestly. He's just a weasel. Clearly off the ice, too. He's just scummy little weasel. Like the epitome of, as McDavid said, the guy you don't want to play against, but the guy you want to play with.
Yeah, you can tell.
That's all he is, 100%.
The boys love him.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Do you think, so where is he going to slot in with that defensive core?
They're saying 7th D. I think that they might dress him tomorrow. I think that they should test the waters with him. Like right now, your second pair is Darnell Nurse and Vinny Desharnais. So I think you could test the waters with Stetcher. I think in the second, third pairing, he's not going to take Bouchard's spot, obviously, but you can mess around with him. He's gritty, knows how to play. So I'm happy with it. But again, I'm upset that that was their right D-man pickup when guys like Walker and even Edmondson are out there. So
I'll be very surprised if he doesn't stay in the lineup, though.
Yeah, no,
I think he finds a way. Yeah, DeArnay, he's a big boy who can hit and eat shots, but Stetcher can do those things and move the puck well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
when DeArnay got called up right before playoffs last year, I loved him. I thought it was fantastic. As this year's gone on, he's been a little shitty, and then now he's kind of picking it up again. So they bumped him up, took CeCe's spot. I've said CeCe's name about six times this pod, but I'm not a CeCe guy. I think DeArnay plays hard. Plays his fucking heart out.
You'd rather have DeArnay in the lineup than CeCe?
In the past 10 games, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, as of now. Just you see CeCe, like, just fucking, he's a walking turnover. He can't break out the puck. He's useless in the ozone.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, no, I don't know why, but...
Let's get off the Oilers before Carter freaks the fuck out.
Yeah, moving along. The Lightning pick up a winger. I thought, I was teasing on the Instagram that they were going to do something big because... the sources that I was looking at, it looked like they were going to do something big. They were in the Hannafin sweepstakes. They were in Buchnevich, I heard.
There was a little bit of Getzel talk.
Which I didn't read too much into that I didn't see too much of them connected. But so they bring in Anthony Duclair in a 7th round pick from the Sharks, and they give away. Prospect named Jack Thompson, 4th-ranked prospect in Tampa Bay's prospect pool. 21-year-old. He's drafted 93rd overall in 2020. And they also give up a 3rd-round pick. So
I think Jack Thompson's a decent pickup for San Jose.
For the prospect pool?
Absolutely. He's definitely a good prospect. He's translated his offensive production from junior to the AHL already. I think he's got potential, and I think they'll give him a shot in San Jose, and you kind of find those under-the-radar guys, and that's where teams kind of start to develop, and when they find kind of sneaky prospects like that.
Mm-hmm. And for sure.
I think, like, a guy that can take his talents from junior to AHL so swiftly, I think that he'll be given a shot in a struggling San Jose team, and I mean... It's a good trade both ways. 100%. I think that San Jose is going to get a little diamond in the rough there.
And then with Duclair, obviously not to the extent of Tarasenko, but it's just if he didn't get moved, it's a wasted talent on a team that's 100%. Not going to make a splash this year. Like, he's skilled, he's good, he was fantastic in Florida. Yeah. There was talks that he was maybe going to go back there even, but then
yeah,
Tarasenko obviously, so that's a bit of an upgrade. But yeah, he's mm-hmm. skilled.
Yeah, he's on a pending UFA deal right now. He's got $3 million that he's earning this year, and on a very struggling Sharks team, he's got 27 points in 56 games.
Pretty bad.
I think Duclair, you'll probably slot in there, probably the second line role, maybe take over Connor Sheary's spot, I think, and probably he's a PP guy as well. So
he's fast, too.
He's got boots. He can wheel.
He's also played for 14 NHL teams. I saw that. He's only 28.
I saw that stat today.
Teams? No, he's played for like 8 teams, man. Like, you gotta think, like, he's got moved a lot. Is there a chance that maybe he's a bit of a cancer in the dressing room? Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
He's been moved around a lot, dude.
But I don't think that Tampa room will stand for it. They got the leaders that they have on that team. They have a winning culture that
100%.
Has not left. So bringing in somebody like Duclair, if he's not fitting in well and if he's being a cancer, those guys will shut him up right away.
Stamkos will 100%. Slap him in the face.
Yeah. Moving along, the big trade. Him and Hannafin were probably 1 and 2 on this trade deadline. Jake Guentzel to the Carolina Hurricanes. Canes bring in Guentzel, 25% retain, and Ty Smith, who's a struggling player. It's sad to see his decline as well.
He's still young, man.
He's still young. He can still find his game.
He's a 2000 born, I think.
Yeah, he was in the Calder race when he was a rookie with the Devils, Ty Smith.
New Jersey, okay. Man, yeah.
Yeah, and...
CSSHL alum.
Yeah, and the Canes give up Michael Bunting, prospects Vili Kukinov, Kukinunin, Vasily...
Something foreign.
Vasily Ponomarenov.
Something else foreign.
Something else in Cruz, another part of the Cruz world. Lucius.
Something Mexican.
And they also give up a conditional 2024 second-round pick and a conditional 2024 fifth-round pick.
I saw a funny tweet that compares this. Somebody said, explain this in NFL terms. And they explained this trade as Justin Jefferson for a second-rounder and a bunch of college prospects. So
that's not even close. That's not even close. I'll just quickly add on the conditions on those picks. Pittsburgh gets Carolina's first round pick if Carolina makes the Stanley Cup final. So that second round pick would turn into a first. And then also on the 2024 fifth round pick, it would turn into a Pittsburgh only receives that pick if Carolina wins the Stanley Cup. So I think that's a great trade for Carolina. They give up a couple prospects, which Ville Kuninen, and I can't pronounce that guy's name for shit, but he's got 53 points right now in 56 games in the Liga League. He's only 20 years old, so he's looking like a great prospect. And then also Vasily Ponomareva.
Something Ponomareva.
I'm totally butchering these. He's got 29 games and 39 AHL games. He's only 21. And then Cruz Lucius, he has 31 games and 31 points in 32 games.
Pardon me. Some couple legit prospects.
Yep.
But I got to ask, like, for me, this doesn't do it. Carolina, I just don't think has what it takes.
Wow.
I think it's a good ad, but something tells me that Carolina can't do it.
I disagree 100%.
You think Carolina? This one, yeah. You think Carolina could go deep?
Sorry, Carter. I'll let you.
I'm going to just say it right now. Carolina's out by the second round.
Okay.
You go.
So
I'll eat my words.
What they've lacked the last couple of years is scoring depth and a scoring winger, especially. Andrei Svechnikov has struggled to stay healthy. And you bring in Gensel, who's injured right now, but he should be back next week or the week after that I was hearing report of. 52 points in 50 games this year. He's a 40-goal scorer. He's a playoff performer.
I think he's the most, if not one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League.
I agree.
Has to be. I drafted him in the 11th round of my fantasy hockey draft this year. I was laughing, man. Like, no, but like, obviously you play with Sid, that makes it easier. But still, man, like you put him with Aho, he's going to be fine. Like,
So that was maybe the number one question mark, and so many people were saying he's a Sid merchant. Like, he doesn't do it by himself. He's over a point per game in the last 4 years without Sid.
It's like
when Sid's out of the lineup, he's over. I think he had 40 points in 38 games.
It's the same thing. Not to bring back to the Oilers, but it's the same thing as like Hyman with McDavid.
Yep,
you call these guys merchants on their line mates. Sid's probably played with 200 line mates that are putting up these numbers. Like, Getzel's fucking sick.
Yeah, and then also the Carolina Hurricanes, they bring in Evgeny Kuznetsov. Evgeny Kuznetsov, 50% retained fresh for a third-round pick. Yeah, he's got 17 points in 43 NHL games. We were talking about it last podcast, kind of the downfall and cocaine problems he's had in the past.
Fast as fuck, he's skilled as fuck, so a fresh start's going to be good for sure. But
yeah, they get him at 50% retained. Carter, my question for you, do you think Kuznetsov gets back to the form that, maybe not the form that when they won the Stanley Cup final, because he was a top 20 player in the NHL, but at least that, do you think he's able to get back to a second line role on a team?
I think he could work his way up, for sure. I think obviously he had to move. He's skilled enough. If he can keep his off ice antics dialed in, then you hope to see that sort of thing, and he's good enough to do it. So hopefully he just keeps his mental and his off ice stuff locked in here.
I was saying it to Kehoe before the podcast today when we were kind of talking about it. Like, it's cool I kind of figured he'd get moved.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washington had enough of Evgeny Kuznetsov for now, and Carolina takes a risk on him.
Yeah, this is like what, like his third or fourth or fifth stint of this off ice.
Yeah, I know he's had some issues, like we've talked about it. This guy's got his demons, but as well as his demons, he's also got a lot of fucking talent. So if I think Carolina can, I think, you know what this is gonna do, I said it to Kehoe before, I think this is gonna give him a slap in the face and a little wakey wakey. Like, you're not an AHL player, you're a top six, you're a second first liner on most teams in the NHL when you're at your potential. And I think if Carolina can get him back to what he can do,
That's a good deadline, man. That is two skilled fucking players that you're adding to your team.
I love it.
And if so okay, good. And I don't retract my earlier statement, but if Kuznetsov somehow comes back to Carolina before the playoffs and finds his groove running into the playoffs, gets hot right before this year's run with Gensel streaking, Carolina could be scary. I don't think they get past the second round, though.
not to cut you off to your Carolina comment from earlier, Freddie just came back last night and he was lights out. He was sick.
That's been a huge question mark on that team is their goaltending as well, which we talked about a couple pods ago.
They just waived Ranta too, I think.
Yeah, I saw him
and Kachetkov right now then, but Freddie last night, I was watching that game, he was fucking nasty.
24 stops on 25 shots.
He's a good goalie.
96 save
percentage. His first
game
in 4 months. Like, yeah. Gross, man.
Walked right back in like he owned the place.
Oddly enough, I feel like Carolina, to me, just seeing Getzel going there, I just thought it was weird. Like, I just didn't like picture them. Really
I can't
in
see
the
him in a
in
I can't see him in a Carolina
like,
jersey.
It's weird, man. For
yeah,
sure,
I saw it coming though. I was reporting on it a couple a day before this happened, that to be aware for Carolina to be in the sweepstakes and to make a big move. I think it's great. I think he's going to fit in with if he's not on the first line, he's going to be great on that second line because they got Marty Niekas and who else is on that second line? I can't even.
Oh, Jarvis is going to be first still.
Kuzi,
yeah. Maybe.
Kuzi, yeah. No, actually, could. He could.
A Kuzi, Nyches, Getzel line.
That
could
would
do
be,
some
that
fucking
could
damage,
be nasty.
Man.
So,
speaking Getzel's of, sick. Yeah, back on the Getzel topic, saw a tweet today put in our group chat. So seeing Getzel leave, apparently Sidney Crosby's changed his tune.
Yes, I saw
apparently
that.
Apparently Sid the Kid has changed his tune and has sat down with Dubas and told him, look, if there's something that you can fetch for me that's going to help this rebuild, I'm willing to do it.
He said that?
He supposedly said.
Well, I think that on that topic, that was some guy on Facebook. But
yeah.
Facebook's legit, dude.
It was like a fan account.
Anyways,
on Facebook,
when you
still...
When he talked to reporters after, and the reporters asked him about the trade, he said, I don't know, you're going to have to talk to management about that.
Okay.
So, and he was pissed off.
Those aren't usual comments from Sid either, no. like to be visibly pissed about that, but obviously, like, that's
But I totally get where he's coming from, though. 100%. Like, Sid is, he's so competitive, and he's been...
Wants to win.
The Penguins...
He's the backbone of their organization.
They've been in the playoffs for so many consecutive years. Last year they miss it. They come back in. New management comes in. They're feeling big. They want to get into the playoffs. And then the year's been super inconsistent. I can't stand them, but I understand where Sid is. He still wants to compete. He still obviously thinks that this team has a chance to do something and to make it to the playoffs. So, I think Sid's a little bit delusional on that part.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to diss him.
No,
because I 100% get where he's getting from. But
that brings me to my next question. So, if Sid's a little bit pissed off that Gensel's gone, and you know he still wants another ring. That guy wants one more, and I think he could get it.
Move him.
I'm so down for it. I just don't think it's gonna happen. I think for legacy like he wants to finish out a Pittsburgh. Realistically, he's got 2 to 3 to 4 more maybe in him.
I think he gets moved. I'd love to see it.
Another thing on the Penguins, not to knock this player because he's sick, obviously. The money that you put towards Erik Karlsson, I think you can do so much more with that money.
Agree.
Make your team so much deeper.
I hated 100%. The trade when they made that
you
trade.
You don't really
I hated
need
it.
Another.
Well, especially
like,
when he's
Letang
not doing
Letang still got it. Letang still gets the job done. I don't understand with the five guys that they were putting out for their PP1, how they were struggling so much.
Right.
It's insane to me. You have Sid, Gino, and
the
Getzel.
Worst power play in the league.
Karlsson and
Letang,
they were
streak.
Like, their percentage was embarrassing.
We talked about this very early about
crazy.
How bad Pittsburgh's power play is, and it's just shocking. But like I wanted to get to is, if you do see Sid moving, so you can either say he stays in Pittsburgh or you can tell me where you see him landing. If you had to see Sid move or stay, where do you think he goes, Keezer?
I think it doesn't matter how pissed off Sid is. He's so loyal, and he's 100%. Been at Pittsburgh for so long. I just can't see himself. It's like breaking up with a longtime girlfriend or your wife. It's like you might have problems, and you're like, you know what, let's go to therapy. Let's try and sort this out. So... I think Sid sticks it out till he retires. But if he was to move, I think him going to the Avs would be
exactly what I said in our group chat earlier.
And it makes sense though, because the Avs' weak spot is center.
Yeah.
And Casey Mittelstadt, I think he's better in a third line scoring role than a second line scoring
100%.
Role. So Who knows what happens in the summer? He's eligible for Sid's eligible July 1st for contract extension.
And then
so
they put we'll out see. That this is before the Getzel deal, but obviously it was said that he was going to move. They said that Sid and Dumas were already discussing extensions. It was already in the works. I don't see him moving, but if he was to move, it was going to be the Avs for sure. Go link up with his boy Nate in Colorado, but I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it does. It'd be entertaining as hell, mm-hmm. and you just want to see that guy win.
Yeah.
He's just such a legend. He's such a good guy. Every Canadian, every hockey fan should root for him.
It's like the same thing with Kaner.
100%.
Fan favorite of the podcast, Brendan Carlson. You guys know him and love him. He had a hot take in our group chat again today, too. He said that if Sidney Crosby were to go to Toronto and help them win a Stanley Cup before he retires, he would be the go-to of hockey.
He's not going to Toronto.
Fuck
Toronto.
If Sid went to Toronto,
fuck Toronto.
Hypothetically, Keezer, if Sidney Crosby went to the Toronto Maple Leafs and won a Stanley Cup.
He grew up as a Habs fan.
Habs fan it was, yeah.
Why the hell would he go to Toronto?
Hear me out.
No,
it's not my take. You got to...
No, I heard your take. It's just...
It's not my take. It's Carly's question. So what is your answer to the question? If, hypothetically, Sidney Crosby goes to a team like Toronto or Vancouver and helps them win a Stanley Cup right now, does that make Sidney Crosby the greatest of all time? If he can... Does it make him the GOAT? Dicer from the fucking top rope says it makes him the greatest of all time.
Sidney Crosby, a guy of that like status, he's not going to go fucking play lineys with hoop earrings. Like, he's not going to the fucking Leafs, man.
Crosby would give himself circumcision
before he went to the Leafs.
I would not
be a
Toronto Maple Leaf.
You want to make a bet?
I don't even want to.
You
want to
make a bet right now?
This is a stupid stop.
Do you want to make a bet with me right now?
What is a waste of time? Waste of words. This bet.
If since you're so confident, if Sidney Crosby is to go to Toronto Maple Leafs, you have to get circumcised. And you can propose your end of the trade or of the bet here.
I'm not even talking about this. Is so stupid.
Mark
this
it
is
down.
So stupid.
March 8th. If right Toronto secures Sid the Kid, Keezer's getting a snip.
This is so stupid. I don't even want to talk about this. This is the dumbest topic ever. I'm switching off of this.
100%.
Tell me how you feel.
Again,
you agree, Carter?
This take came from Brendan Carlson, and all the PP3 listeners heard Brendan Carlson speak.
The peanut butter bully.
We're talking about Sid with Toronto. What the hell is going on?
It'd be disgusting. I always played with him on my hut team. Sidney Crosby looks good in the blue and white, baby.
That was Nolo's biggest waste of words in the history.
No.
Moving along. Another Canadian team. This player is collecting Canadian team Infinity Stones. Tyler Toffoli. He gets traded from the Devils for a second-round pick and a third-round pick. The Devils also retain 50% of Toffoli's contract. Currently, he has 44 points in 61 games, 26 goals. He's making 4.25 this year, so that'll get taken down to about 2.125, I believe. What do we think on the trade, boys? I think it's a huge dub for Winnipeg. They are going to be up there with Colorado, Dallas, the Canucks. Mm-hmm.
They're
for that
scary,
Western
man.
Conference.
I put them
Vegas.
Right in that conversation.
Vegas. I'm so like excited to see what the first round central matchup's going to be, because like either way, it's going to be two teams that can play in the Stanley Cup final. Like if it's the Stars and the Jets, or the Avs and the Jets, or the Avs and the Stars, like, it's going to be fucking crazy. But the Jets are scary as hell. That's a great ad. I don't think he's going to stay there, obviously, but it's a good skilled guy you need to make a run.
So this dude's a homie hopper. He's bouncing around Canada and the States like no other. Keezer and I talked about it. We thought the Jets had a legit lineup as soon as they secured Monahan. Mm-hmm. We thought that Monahan might have even pushed them over.
Sick ad by itself.
We thought that Monahan might have even pushed them onto the edge of a contender. And I think securing a guy like Tyler Toffoli, you know that guy brings it every single night. And come playoffs, he's a different beast. You watched him put the Montreal Canadiens on his back. You've watched him carry the Canucks through multiple games. He's even stolen games for New Jersey when they're struggling this year. Tyler Toffoli's a bona fide player, and I think that him getting snagged by a team like Winnipeg right now, realistically, I think that puts him in the conversation, like you said, with those big dogs, like with Colorado, with Winnipeg, or with Dallas, with Vancouver right now. So
yeah, they'll probably drop Nemestikov down. That on Winnipeg's depth chart. I love Toffoli there. I think he's going to do great. He's going to probably play with Monahan and was it, Ehlers maybe?
That'd be nice.
That'd be a nice line right there. I think Winnipeg's looking really nice. They have a pretty solid decor. Awesome goaltending. They're going to be a team to deal with in the playoffs, so I'm excited to see that. One funny trade that happened last night, or today, actually. The Boston Bruins, they bring in Patty Maroon for a sixth-round pick. And it's going to be really funny to see what happens here because, like a lot of hockey fans remember, Jack Edwards took a little bit of a hit at Patty Maroon, calling him fat. On their broadcast, and went up and apologized to him the next day, I think it was, or maybe that night. And Patty Maroon was having none of it.
No.
He didn't want to talk to him at all. So this is going to be pretty funny to see.
Fucking love this trade.
Carter, let's hear your thoughts on it.
I think it's a great fit. I just think that Patty Maroon just screams Bruin to me for some reason. I think obviously with what's going on with Lucic, that's a gap you fill with Patty Maroon. He knows how to win. He's won a lot. Great guy off the ice, obviously. But yeah, it should be neat with the Edwards thing. Obviously thought that he was eating pizza pregame, called him fat. So interesting, but great fit, good deal. I don't know what Minnesota is going to be doing for the rest of the year here, so I think that it's good that he's going to a true contender like Boston.
I woke up this morning after watching Toronto and Boston duke it out recently. You see Jake McCabe blowing guys up, Marchand mixing it up, and you have guys like Reeves, you have guys like Edmondson now. Toronto's getting tougher, regardless of what you say, and I'm saying it now, it's Boston and Toronto first round. The old rivalry comes back with new blood this year, a lot of new faces on each side, and I think Boston needed one more tough guy like Pat Maroon, and I think having Pat Maroon as a heavyweight in Boston, that's needed. They don't have Lucic, as Carter touched on, but bringing in Fat Pat is going to be, I think, very beneficial, not necessarily maybe on the score sheet, but definitely as an intimidation factor. Like, I know damn well, if I'm a little guy out there in Toronto, if I'm Nylander, I'm not mixing it up if I know Pat Maroon's willing to take my head off.
Yeah, I also like the just the addition, like he's gonna fit in well with Boston with that role. He's gonna be playing a fourth line role. He's got a little bit of skill this year. He showed out a little bit. He's got 16 points in 49 games. He started off pretty well at the beginning of the year, slowed down a little bit, but just another depth piece for Boston. So I like that trade.
Yeah, me too.
Next trade, we're Nashville Predators adding. They bring in Jason Zucker for a sixth-round pick, which I was very surprised to see, but then looking into the details, there's no salary retained, so he's making 5.3 mil this year. He's got 25 points in 51 games. I heard some reports saying they wanted a second-round pick from him if they were going to retain salary, so I get why teams kind of moved away from that, but he's going to be a fine middle sixer on that team. He can play power play. He can play penalty kill. You can put him out there for really any situation. He goes up and down your lineup. Obviously, he's a bit past his prime here, but I like the move for Nashville. They're not giving up a lot. They have the salary there, and they're in a playoff spot. So I think it's a good addition for them.
Just a good, gritty depth forward. And I like that that little piece that if he was going to get some retained, that he probably is worth a second. I think that he's that gritty. He's a little bit skilled, gets the job done. Yeah, really good player all around. A good ad for Nashville, who's trying to keep their spot and move on.
Yeah, anything to add, Noel?
Not necessarily. Like you and I talked about.
You're not a big Jason Zucker guy?
He doesn't do nothing crazy for me. He doesn't tickle my balls. But you and I touched on it. It would be cool to see him in Philly. I thought that was maybe a potential for that. I thought they'd make a little bit of a push for maybe a bigger forward, but didn't happen. Wasn't too upset about it, but would have been cool to see him in the orange and black. But regardless, I think he's going to be a difference maker like a lot of the other names in these trades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, moving along. Goalie trade. The Devils, they needed to make a move. They were really wanting to get Markstrom. It sounded like it wasn't going to happen this trade deadline because Calgary wants to keep him now, but for the time being, for the rest of the year, they've sorted out their goalie trouble, hopefully. They get two goalies, first trade. They get Jake Allen for a third-round pick from Montreal. It's a conditional one that moves to a second if Jake Allen plays 40 games combined over this year and next year, which has a strong possibility of doing if he stays. And then the other trade, they trade away Vincent Vanecek in a seventh-round pick for Kaapo Kähkönen, who has played pretty well on the Sharks, actually. Like, he played well with the Wild a couple of years ago when they were pushing for the playoffs. And on a struggling Sharks team, him and Mackenzie Blackwood, they've been a solid tandem for them. Obviously, the stats are weak because they're playing on the Sharks. But I think that's a good trade for them. They bring in, they're going to have Kaapo Kähkönen and Jake Allen as a 1A, 1B sort of scenario. Obviously, that was their biggest need. They keep Nico Dawes. They're going to put him down into the minors. Yeah. So
he had a good little stint there for a little bit.
He did, and then he just completely went off the rails.
Just fell right off.
So, boys, what do we think about New Jersey's new goalie tandem?
Allen was my realistic kind of hope for my Oilers, not to bring it back to them, but I think if he's only worth a third, and that's a good ad for if he wants to go to Edmonton, just a good veteran guy that can come in, play every third game, make some saves. Great for New Jersey. Obviously, that's been their biggest struggle. Their season's been a disappointment. The Kähkönen for Vanecek thing, I said it earlier when I came in the house here, I said it's like Diet Pepsi for Diet Coke. Just swapping the same guys that need fresh starts. So obviously, Kakanen's been a little better on a pretty shitty Sharks team. So I think that's a win for New Jersey overall.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, moving on. The Tampa Bay Lightning finally make a defensive trade. They were in for Hanifin. There was talks about Jacob Chychrun, and I'm not a huge fan of this trade, but they bring in Matt Dumba and a seventh-round pick for a fifth-round pick from the Yotes. Matt Dumba, he was good with the Wild a couple of years ago. He's completely fell off the rails. He's got 10 points in 58 games. They don't give up a lot, Tampa, but for their defensive problems, I'm not a huge fan of this trade.
I don't think he solves it either, and I think that the word is he might be a shit guy off the ice too.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. But it's obviously if you're a Tampa fan, you see all this talks about Hanifin, that's the guy you want, and you end up with Dumba. But you don't give up much, so whatever. But it's nothing ideal, as you said, Keezer. But
yeah, I agree. Obviously losing what's his name, Svech? What is it?
On which team, sorry?
Tampa. He was their left-handed defenseman.
Sergachev.
Losing Sergachev. He was their, arguably their number one D. He played really well this year.
That poor guy's been through it, man.
Yeah, unfortunate injury. Shitty so stuff. I don't think this solves it, but they needed a piece, so they bring in Matt Dumba. Next trade, New York Rangers. We were talking about them bringing in Wennberg. They also bring in Jack Roslovic for a conditional fourth-round pick, and the fourth turns into a third if the Rangers make the Cup final. This year, he's making $4 million, and he's got 23 points in 40 games. He was playing, I think, 12, 13 minutes with Columbus on a struggling Columbus team. He's got skill, which you watch him play.
Yeah.
He's fast. He's agile. He's a good playmaker. The Rangers aren't giving up a lot for that. Obviously, I think they could have done more this trade deadline, but Jack Ross, I think that's a sneaky pick for them.
That's a great piece. I think that I liked it, weirdly enough, more than the Wennberg trade, if I'm a Rangers
Yeah,
fan.
I would agree.
I think he's gritty, he's sneaky skilled, puts up those points on a lackluster Columbus team, so I think that's a great add. Obviously, you want to do more when you're a Rangers team that has to deal with guys like the Panthers and the Canes, but still a great add.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty neutral on that trade. I don't think it makes a huge difference either way, but I'm just going to take it away here. So I've been doing some reading and some research, looking at a lot of what the Cup contenders and Cup teams have been doing in the last 5 years at the deadline and if it's paid off. So I just wanted to talk to you guys. I think NHL trade deadline splashes, they don't really bring Stanley Cups that often, dude. You've seen it happen where it pays off in the past. Like, for example, Tampa Bay bringing in Blake Coleman and Goodrow at the deadline was a very, very important piece to their two cup runs. And then you see Vegas Golden Knights bringing in Barbashev last year, and he was a huge piece to their cup run. They brought him in, and he replaced Riley Smith, who was an original Vegas Golden Knight, and he was a great pickup at the deadline and really contributed to cup runs. But in the past, we've also seen some big contenders making pushes for it, and their big trades don't really deliver. So like you and I talked about before, you touched on the Pittsburgh Penguins at the deadline. I brought up teams like Boston bringing in Bertuzzi and Hathaway and guys that only stuck around for one year. Orlov, yeah, as well. Guys that only stuck around for 1 year. And that Boston team, best team in regular season, and they load up with three big free agents, and those are big splashes at the deadline. Like, Boston was the team making the damage last year in the deadline, looking for a huge run. Everybody was scared of Boston.
I think that one specifically, in my opinion, is tough because it went game 7 OT, so mm-hmm. that game goes either way. And
well, they also choked the 3-1 lead.
They did. And the Cats go either way. But yeah, I think that for this deadline, on paper, it's tough to write off teams like Vegas and Carolina mm-hmm. and what they've done. But yeah, no, it's crazy to hear that statistic for sure.
It's just crazy. Like, teams like that make and get the big guys, do they really go on to be contenders? Like, do you guys, honest question, do you guys think that Carolina, who made some big moves, bringing in Kuznetsov and bringing in Jake the Snake Gensel, like, do you think Carolina, with those two pickups, it hurts their future a little bit, but do you really think that those two names are going to lead them to a Stanley Cup in the next few years?
I honestly think it can.
I think that me and Keyser are 2-1 against you on this one.
I agree.
Are sick. I think that, again, as I mentioned earlier, with Freddie being back now and how good he played in his first game in 4 months, I think that's terrifying if you're an Eastern Conference team.
Fair enough.
I really like their decor, too. 100%. Their decor hasn't been – they haven't been playing great this year, but with a couple new faces coming in and really – That's sending a message to them that this is our year.
100%.
We think we can win the cup this year, and we're going in.
Speaking of their decor, not to make a transition, but you guys mentioned it would have been after your last pod, the Tony D'Angelo got waived as well.
Yes.
I don't know what off ice shit he was up to now, but they put out a thing like a little before the deadline. They're like, we will give this guy away for a 7th-round pick. Like, mm-hmm. someone take him, and they end up waving
he's
him.
He's more focused on his clothing line than his plus-minus.
Like, great defenseman, obviously, but he just must be such a piece of shit off the ice and just such a shit guy.
Yeah, wherever teams don't he goes, deal with him. The shit stain follows him. Like, he obviously is liked by some teammates and hated by others and hated by coaches.
Tried to fight his own goalie.
Hated by fan bases, so.
Was that New York or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to fight his own goalie, man.
So, going back, looking at the deadline now that it's in the past here, and looking at some big moves at the deadline in the past paying off, like we mentioned, Tampa Bay, Vegas, Pittsburgh, and looking at some failures like Washington when they gave away Forsberg just to bring in Erat. Like, there's been some trades at the deadline that really don't pay off and some trade deadlines that really do pay off. So if you had to say right now, do you think the team that wins the Stanley Cup this year was a team that made a splash in this year's deadline, a.k.a. Carolina, Vegas, teams like that, Toronto?
We haven't even touched on the one Vegas trade either yet, eh?
Thomas Hertl?
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Oh, did we really?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Missed that. I think that on paper you have to think it does this year, especially for Vegas. Just those three ads are so big, but, I mean, anything can happen, right?
I would say the only thing that this applies to, and they brought in 2 forward, we didn't even touch on Kyle Okposo to them, but the Panthers, they didn't make too many big trades. Same with Winnipeg. We actually didn't touch on them bringing in Colin Miller either, who's going to be a good defenseman for them. But those two teams, if what you're trying to get at, Nola, with the big prices that these teams are playing for rentals or guys with not great term left on their contract, does it really pay off? I think those would be the two teams that would be the exception that really do have a chance.
Carolina and Vegas?
I don't think they had, like, I think Florida would have been fine with not making a single trade this trade deadline and going into the playoffs confident. I don't think they needed to change too much. Yeah. Same with Winnipeg. I don't think they needed to change too much. And they had Tyler Toffoli, who,
obviously, regardless. I think that the West Pacific specifically is going to be so interesting because you got these teams like Vancouver, obviously, and even Edmonton you throw in there. Has such sick regular seasons, obviously. And then you're going to have to try to get past Vegas at some point. Like, how are you going to do that with this team on paper, the defending champs, the best decor I think I've seen in years as a hockey fan? Like, I don't understand how you can get past that. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, anything can happen, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I also just want to quickly add on. There was just some there's some breaking news with the Calgary Flames. There was actually a second rounder attached to that Noah Hanifin deal as well. So the conditions on it weren't correct when it was reported. So it's a 2026 first round pick, third round pick that's not conditional, and then there's a 2025 first round pick, which is conditional, and it turns into a third round pick. Or no, sorry, it's a 2025 third round pick that turns into a second round pick if Vegas wins one singular round in this year's playoffs.
So,
I think that's
a good bet.
I think that's, but looking back at Calgary, I think it's, they're going to have a bright future, I think. Obviously, things aren't really panning out the way that they're hoping for the last 2 years, being a contender like we're seeing from the Panthers and the Winnipegs and the Vegas Golden Knights and the Canucks this year. But I think they're starting to turn things around a little bit. They're creeping up on a playoff spot. And I think the futures look bright. They've obviously had the deal with Johnny Hockey leaving Matthew Tkachuk.
It's crazy how fast their fall off happened. Like, it's unfortunate if you're a Flames fan, you make it to the second round of the playoffs and lose to the Oilers. Sound. And then your whole team just collapses in general. So
just like that.
Tough to see if you're a Flames fan. It's crazy how fast that happened, but I agree. They have the picks and the prospects to do some damage. You got guys like Connor Zary and Dustin Wolf. Like, you got a bright future, lots of picks too, so it's good.
Yeah, so just to cap off the trade deadline, we're going to go over a couple signings that happened. Rasmus Sandin signs a 5-year, $4.65 million deal with the Caps. That's a great deal there for the Caps. They get a 25-year-old who has looked really good.
That's a guy that if you're a Leafs fan, you should have never moved on from him.
Yeah,
that
guy can play hockey.
When John Carlson starts to slow down in the next 2-3 years, that's a guy who's going to take over your number one D-man role on a team and number one PP.
He's a left shot, I think.
He's a left shot.
Like, regardless, yeah. Like, I don't think that you should have moved on from him from the Leafs. I think if the Caps want to do any damage in the future, like near future, it's a great signing in general. So, yeah, skilled, good D-man, moves the puck, shuts it down. All around good deal for the Caps.
I agree. Moving along, Johnny Quicks. He earned himself another year.
Sick.
Yeah, 1.275, and boy, did he ever.
You're so happy to see shit like that, too. There was that like little stint there where you're thinking, like, is this guy going to take over the number one spot in New York right now?
You love stories like that.
Oh, dude. Well,
you have to.
It's fucking awesome. It's a guy like Johnny Quick, one of the best goalies ever, too, and he's a New York like diehard growing up, and he gets to go back to his hometown team, has his best season in years, and it's just awesome to see, man.
Earning his ice time every time he's out there, dude.
Yeah, playing great. Moving along, Tommy Novak with the Nashville Predators. He's been a sneaky player this year, and there was talks. Trade talks before, but the Preds were pretty clear that they wanted to sign him up. They signed him to a 3-year, $3.5 million deal. He's been really good this year, and a huge reason why the Preds are in a playoff spot right 100%. Now. Yeah, anything to add, boys?
I love that deal. I like Novak in Preds. Me and Ev have hit a couple any times on our boy Tommy, which is pretty crazy. But, yeah, he's a fast, he's a fun player, and on a pretty good Nashville team right now, he's a big piece. So I'm glad that they locked him up for three more.
Yeah. Next signing that happened, a big one for the Panthers. Gustav Forsling signs an 8-year, $5.75 million deal.
This one an absolute
steal. If this guy was in the free agent market, I think he would get close to $8 million a year.
He's better than Darnell Nurse, buddy.
I think he's better than Hanifin.
100%. I don't think that he would have got the term in the free agent market, but I think that at 5.75, it's a great deal. You got him locked for the next fucking 8 years, obviously. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he can keep this level of play through most of that deal, but... Yeah, great signing.
He also just earned himself $40 million, and he gets to live in Florida for 8 years.
Yeah,
your golf cart to the ring.
Yeah, keep the change. Yeah.
Great. Last signing that happened, Jordan Eberle. He signs a 2-year, $4.75 million year. $4.75 million a year contract. Fuck, I'm butchering all the words. With the Kraken, there was rumblings about him as well.
I wanted
well.
Him to be an Oiler again so fucking
that would have been electric.
And that's what the talk was too. There was like, I think that that Ken Holland was pushing for
I
him
would have
a
loved
little bit.
To see everybody.
It just would have been sick to see a guy like such like a staple of the Oilers during their shitty times, obviously, but Yeah, I would have loved that. He's a skilled right shot. I think 2 for 4.75 is perfect for him. He's obviously a good fit with the Kraken, but would have liked to have seen him back in blue and orange jersey. But yeah, good signing.
Yeah. Okay, boys. Well, went over a lot of hockey. And Carter, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast.
It was fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us. A lot of stuff to get through, so we're glad to keep you informed. And before we sign this off, trade deadline, post trade deadline, we're all sitting here kind of still shook by a bit of the news, but looking at the deadline, quick question for you guys, who is your cup front runner right now after the deadline? Carter, starting with you, bud.
I gotta start it off west and east, or just straight up?
Give me west and east.
It's so dumb and I hate it, but on paper right now from the West, I don't know how it's not Vegas. Like, yeah, with what they just did, and they know how to win. They won last year. I don't know how it's not them. In the East, again, like me and Keezy were kind of shutting down Nolo. I think that the Canes ads were sick. I think they're going to make a run, but I don't think anyone in the East sniffs the Florida Panthers.
I would agree. Those were the exact two teams that I was going to say, but yeah, Carolina's going to be sniffing. I think in the West, the Jets are going to be up there.
I think they're scary, man.
They are scary.
And I think Dawes, with how good these
we haven't even touched on Dawes at all.
Your boy Stan.
I hate
Wyatt
the fucking
Johnson.
Dawes.
They're so sick, and just it's so fun to see guys like Tyler Seguin and Matt Duchene playing such good hockey. Like, they're a scary team too, man. Obviously, the Avs are going to roll, but I just think with what Vegas just said, I don't know how the fuck you beat them.
Totally forgot about them. They didn't make any deals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sleeper at the deadline.
I don't think you need
to make big deals when you got Logan Stankoven over a point per game.
That's like
4-point night.
That's like a trade deadline addition.
Pretty much.
He comes up to your team, 100%. A brand new player,
and he's
and
lighting
fits
it up.
Right in. Yeah.
But
in the East, I'd probably say I think we could still see the New York Rangers.
I like it. Make that was my original pick. I think that this Tarasenko and Okposo ads kind of signified for me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the Cats have it, but the Rangers were still I think that they're going to be close to.
That's fair enough.
Noah, what about your picks?
For me from the West, I said it already. Right now it looks like Vegas is stacking up against Vancouver at this current time. So that'd be a battle. I got the current matchups here. That'd be the one from the Pacific versus the Wild Card 2 and the Golden Knights. Honestly, I think the Golden Knights go on a bit of a heater now with Eichel back. Maybe see a different matchup, but like you boys both touched on, out of the West, Vegas looks terrifying.
Yeah.
They're a Titan again this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just walk right through it. And then in the East, a little bit more of a toss-up for me. I mean, looking at everybody, it's got to be the Flyers. Just kidding. I'd love that.
That's funny.
But
as a Canucks fan, who
don't
do you
like
want?
I don't like them heading into the playoffs.
Who do you want in the first round?
Shit. Well, they're gonna be first in the Pacific, which means they're gonna get a wild card spot. Yeah.
Got 4 games in hand on the Oil and like 9 points on them.
So they're going to be right now. What they're playing? If the standings stayed the same, they'd be playing Vegas. And then the other wild card team is Nashville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with the way things are trending, it's looking like Winnipeg. They got a couple games in hand. I could see them taking over number one in the West, which means they would take over. They would take Vegas. So I would probably say Nashville in that first wild card spot.
Matchup, yeah.
Because they're going to finish top of the Pacific, which means they're going to get one of those wild card teams. So I'd say, and even Calgary's coming up. If Calgary gets in the playoff,
crazy.
Boys,
crazy.
Not just would it be crazy for the city and just how they got in, but I would not want to play that team in the playoffs.
They have nothing to fucking lose at all.
I could see them taking over. One of the favorite. I could see them surprising the Winnipeg Jets,
100%.
The Canucks, even Vegas. I could see them surprising. Vegas,
I love that.
I'm very,
too,
very
man.
High on.
Yeah,
but
absolutely, I love that too.
So yeah, there you have it. Now back to the final question: Cup winner right now, if you had to choose, give it to me, Keezer, quick.
Just one.
Panthers.
Carter, what do you got?
Cats as well.
I got Vegas.
Dice.
Dicer. Who's winning the cup this year?
The Vancouver Canucks or the Philadelphia Flyers?
Bang, you heard it here first. The Flyers are winning Rock the cup.
A little bit of context on that take. This guy had breakfast at 4:30 p.m. today.
It's good for the immune system. A lot of sleep helps. Just wanted to say thanks again for tuning in. Episode 5, thanks for sticking with us. The content's growing, and we love having you guys along for the ride. Yeah, so thanks for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's been fun to watch.
Fuck yeah, thanks for coming, bud. And PP3, out.